Okay, good morning. Scripture for this morning is Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. I'm reading from NIV. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. Excuse me. When they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about the hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down and do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from the inside and defile a person."
There's a part of me that wants to get rid of the notes and just talk to you about this text because there's so much there. But there's some things that I won't say if I do that. Overheard this once in the foyer of a church building. "Look at that guy. Look how he's dressed. What's he doing headed toward our church?" Also overheard, "You got the Lord's Supper out of order. It's bread first and then the cup." Once Bev and I were visiting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is right on the edge of the Grand Tetons. It's a beautiful place. Sunday morning, we're looking for a place to worship, and so we go to a little Baptist church there in town. Everybody had jeans on. Everybody. Except for the pastor who got in the pulpit with a full suit and tie. The Jews had a history of majoring in minors. And they failed to see the objective of life, of the way we live, of the principles that we live by. Jesus, the Sabbath is a good case in point because they observed the Sabbath, but they didn't observe the Sabbath in the way that God wanted them to observe it. And so Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's his way of saying you've got it all upside down. You've confused everything. I want to give you, to me, the very best example of how they did this is with the Mishnah. We've talked about the Mishnah before, but let me just give you some facts about the Mishnah, and I want you to let it wash over you. I want you to think about how you would feel if somebody suddenly gave you a copy of the Mishnah and said, here, you should live by this. So the Mishnah has six orders or chapters, six of them in all. Each order, each chapter has 7 to 12 tractates or subdivisions. Six chapters, each chapter of which has 7 to 12 subdivisions. There are 63, I believe this is subdivisions in all, 63 of them. Each one of them came containing 50 to 100 commands or instructions. The order of the Sabbath came under a chapter called Moed, M-O-E-D, which means feasts in the Hebrew. And there are 139 separate commands regarding Sabbath. We just finished in small group a really wonderful study of Sabbath and what it means for us today. But can you imagine 139 commands about how to keep Sabbath? Let me read you one such. He is guilty that takes out enough wine to mix the cup, or milk enough for a gulp, or honey enough to put on a sore. If during one act of forgetfulness that it is the Sabbath, a man writes two letters, he is guilty. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't feel inspired to want to keep Sabbath. I wouldn't really even know what the point of that was. What is the objective of being careful that I never write more than one letter on the Sabbath? What is the objective of saying, I want to make sure that I don't use honey on any wounds on the Sabbath because that's guilt-inducing. And yet that's how Jewish life went. This was at the time of Christ. When I was, I used to go to a conference once a year in Austin, Texas, and that was a place that I first became acquainted with Mishnah, and the guy that was talking about it said that he thought that the Mishnah was really important for understanding the Sermon on the Mount so that you would know what the backstory was on what Jesus was saying to his people in the Sermon on the Mount. It proved to be true and good advice. The Jews had gotten far away from what God wanted from them. They weren't even close, which is at the heart. That's really the story of Mark 7, what Amanda just read to us. Mark 7 begins with the Pharisees commenting on the freedom of Jesus' disciples. So picture this. Before you eat a meal in Judaism, you were to ceremonially wash your hands. And so you would pour water over your hands and you would make sure that none of the dirty water dripped. And so you would hold your hands up like this so that the water would run down your arm. Only when you washed your hands ceremonially were you permitted to eat? And yet Jesus' disciples were going through grain fields, hungry, and they were pulling off, ear of corn, actually it was wheat, and rubbing it between their hands and then eating it. And the Jews said, shame on them. They didn't wash their hands. What on earth are you doing eating a meal without washing your hands? This extended also to touching a leper. Now, beyond the biological, medical things with that, if you touched a leper, you were unclean and you had to go through the process of becoming clean. Or if it was a menstruating woman, you could not touch her or have sexual relations with her because it would render you unclean. You couldn't even sit on a chair that woman had sat on. I hope it's starting to kind of go, man, that is ridiculous. I hope you're starting to say, what on earth was the point of that? This was burned into their consciousness. It was like the same way how you put toilet paper on a roll on the dispenser in your bathroom, or the way you drive to work, or how you tie your tie. I always use a Windsor knot, and I can tie it while I'm driving. It's so ingrained in my consciousness. Used to do that on my way to Kroger. Jesus' response to them, which is very telling, is, you're just hypocrites. All you care about is the form. All you care about is the outward appearance of what you do. Hence, that guy coming across the parking lot doesn't look like us and doesn't dress like us, and he's not welcomed here. I'm more concerned about the order of the Lord's Supper rather than the attention that it calls to us of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he suffered for us. Jesus says you're a hypocrite. You're not really concerned about what is important. You know that hypocrisy is a word taken from the Greek theater, and hypokrites, hypocrisy, is the Greek mask. So if you're a hypocrite, you're playing a role, you're putting on a mask, you're trying to deceive, you're trying to appear to be something that you're not. Jesus was telling the Pharisees that they pretended to be concerned about obeying the law, but they lost track with what obeying the law was all about, which is to produce people that are more like their Father, more like God. Well, this really gets to the point, and the point of this whole chapter, and that is the Pharisees, if you could think of it as a cup, if you could think of religious practice as your coffee cup, the Pharisees would take their coffee cup and they would just wash the outside of it, but they didn't wash the inside. You ever had a coffee cup like that? I had one at work like that. And it got blacker and blacker and blacker inside, but I didn't care because the outside was nice and clean. Jesus says that's what you guys are like. You take care of the ceremonial. You take care of things that you see first. Like how that guy's dressed that's coming across our parking lot. but you don't really care what's on the inside. Jesus says, this is not the true uncleanness, the outside. The true uncleanness is inside. It's where the coffee grounds are and the stain at the bottom of your cup. That's where it is. And so he has a list. Jesus says, it's out from out inside you rather than outside you. That fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, which is greed. Boy, don't you see lots of that today? Just greed, just nothing but corporate desire to have and have and have rather than share. Jesus says that comes from inside. That's heart stuff. Wickedness, deceit, licentiousness. That's a big word, but what licentiousness means is something that is vulgar or lewd. And in its use, most of the time that has sexual overtones. Envy, slander, pride, folly. These, Jesus says, are what come from inside you. Those are the things that make you impure and defile you. So Jesus says, those who attempt to worship with such a heart do so pointlessly. There's multiple passages in the Old Testament where Jesus, rather God says to his people, look, I don't really care about all that sacrifice junk that you do. That's not what really impresses me. This is what I want. I want you to be just and merciful and compassionate. That's what I want. See, that comes from inside. That comes from the heart. This is such a powerful passage. And I think that the modern church has forgotten that. I think the modern church, the 21st century church in the United States, has paid too much attention to the way it appears on the outside. I just do. And I don't think the modern church, if I may speak just kind of in broad strokes here, has really majored in what it is that's bubbling up from inside of us. And whether it really reflects the will of God in our lives. And my conclusion in Matthew 23, Jesus is at this point in Matthew, he's in Jerusalem, he's awaiting his death, his betrayal and death. He knows that's coming. And he just unleashes on the Pharisees. And he said, you just do things for the show of it. You just do things for the show of it. Rich and I have talked about this a lot. I think it's applicable here, is that putting on a show in worship is not something that we admire or want to do at LifeSpring. We don't do that. We sing and we praise God. And if you start speaking to people that way, if you start appealing to their human appetites, then what you do is you produce people who, people, faith you produce in people faith that is aimed at the exteriors. Jesus says, what I want is the changed heart. Let's pray. God of truth and integrity, we know how tempting it is to do things because of the attention it gets us. We also know that such life leads to a bankruptcy of spirit. Please keep us attuned to your spirit and may what proceeds from our heart be full of holiness and in concert with your will. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.